presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I said this to our video audience before the show began, so let me say this to the podcast and radio folks as well. I am, first of all, thrilled about being back today. We have not done Dog Nation Daily in a while. It's fun to be doing this again. I also have a weird thing going on with my throat. I don't quite know what this is. I'll go years without getting sick. I just don't get sick. Don't get headaches. Don't get colds. Don't get anything. But I have been dealing with a little bit of a throat thing over the course of the last couple of days, so I'm sure I sound a little bit weird. I'm sure that's a little bit annoying. But I'll do my part to soldier through, and hopefully by tomorrow I'll be back sounding like my normal self, and you can decide for yourself, I guess, if that's an improvement when we get to that point again. But nonetheless, there is a lot to talk about today, and a lot has happened since I was gone from this chair. And a lot of it off the top of the program is going to center around what started as a rumor, started as a, hey, this might happen, and then you blink your eyes and it has happened. Georgia's going to move its game with Auburn up into the season. Dog Nation's reported likely in the month of October, away from its traditional date in November. The Deep South's oldest rivalry, apparently tradition does not matter that much anymore. That game's not going to be played when it's used to being played. It's going to be playing much earlier in the year now, and there are some reasons, I believe, justifiably, the Georgia fans are not too happy about this. And I want to kind of go through some of this right now. Let me start with something that Georgia President Dr. Jerry Moorhead had to say yesterday. It just so happened that the athletic board or whatever was having a meeting yesterday. So Dog Nation was on hand for that. Chip Towers got kind of an interesting quote from the University of Georgia president. And apparently, from the perspective of Moorhead, the scuttlebutt about this, the issue around all of this stuff, apparently to Moorhead, it's not necessarily that big of a deal. What Moorhead told Dog Nation was, I don't have much reaction to the decision. As I understand it, the conference has switched Auburn and Tennessee, and they had their reasons for doing it. I suppose if I was looking at the schedules, the key for me would be asking if the head football coach is happy with the schedule, and as our athletic director vetted it properly, all those things have been done. That's Jerry Moorhead speaking to Dog Nation yesterday. But it's the last part of that I think is going to be a very important issue for us to address here today. Moorhead says, if the head coach is happy with the schedule, well, we don't know a ton about what Kirby Smart thinks about anything, but in terms of his previous public statements about this, I think there's some reasons to believe that he, based on what he said in the past, might not necessarily be truly happy with the way this has played out right now, because as I understand Kirby's own words, his issue in the past has not been when the Auburn game was played, but the nature of the Auburn road game in the same year that Georgia also goes to Georgia Tech. So let me let you hear Kirby Smart from just this past summer on that very subject.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a chance to fix that and return the favor that we paid to them. I hear about that a lot. Obviously, I wasn't there, but about the two times they had to travel back to back, I think if we can make it more consistent and we balance things out, probably be helpful in the long run. But I got a feeling there's more to it than just us and them. It always affects so many other moving parts, but it would be nice to do that.
I think the language that Kirby Smart uses there is very interesting. At the beginning of that statement, he says, return the favor that we paid Auburn. That's negotiation language. That's a reminder of, we did something for you before, now it's your turn to do something for us. That could be directed straight to Auburn. That could be directed to the SEC. It could be directed to whomever. That's Kirby Smart saying, hey, in the past, we've done something for you. Now it's time for you to return the favor to us. I think that language is very important. But the other thing you hear from Kirby Smart is not a complaint about the fact that the Auburn game comes late in the season, because that's Auburn's issue with this. For Auburn, this is more about the home and away situation. It's the fact that it has to play its two biggest rivals and two toughest opponents within the same frame of time, both in the month of November, every single year. That's Auburn's issue with this. They don't like the home and away part of it either, but their bigger issue is the closeness of the games between Georgia and Alabama. Kirby Smart doesn't bring that up. He brings up the fact that it's on the road at Auburn and on the road at Georgia Tech at the end of the same year. So that's Kirby Smart's issue on this. So based on that, the fact that Georgia has now traded Auburn for Tennessee, that doesn't alleviate that problem. So if we take Kirby Smart as a word, then the trade for Auburn for Tennessee, that's not an example of Kirby Smart getting what he wants on this. Let me let you hear from more from Kirby to cement that point a little further.
Yeah, I feel like if we can fix it from that perspective, it would help, and it would help with not having two road games back-to-back for us in the situation we had this year with the Auburn and the Georgia Tech back-to-back. But it's not exactly way high up on the priority list. I understand there's problems and difficulties trying to appease everybody, especially with the SEC conference having to do it. The way I understand it, the reason it happened the first time was because of the addition of the two teams.
So, once again, you hear Kirby Smart all about the home and away part of this, the fact that the Georgia schedule got messed up back in the 2012 when the league expanded, bringing in Missouri and Texas A&M. Georgia had its hand in the air to go help out the league by going to Auburn 2 years in a row. Didn't put up much of a fight, complained about that very much then, and the schedule's been messed up ever since. Now, you know, it certainly seemed like it very easy for the SEC to make that move back then. All of a sudden now it's moving heaven and earth to get the favor return for Georgia. But nonetheless, that's the way that it goes. Now, as far as the role that Greg McGarrity plays in all of this, his desire to fight for Georgia, well, he says that's exactly what he's doing. He's just choosing to do it all behind closed doors. McGarrity, once again, from the same Dog Nation story that Chip Towers wrote yesterday, says that every school advocates for its own desires. You get in a room, and if there are certain things you want to discuss about moving or changing, there are 14 athletic directors that do that. Everybody advocates for their own. The one thing we don't do is talk about those conversations. We follow SEC protocol, which is to talk about it in the room when you're developing schedules. There are things we advocate for that nobody ever really knows about. That's the purpose of going through that exercise. You don't talk about it in public. What we talked to the commissioner and Mark Womack about regarding scheduling, there have been several times they've helped us with things that are important to our football coaches. Once again, that's Greg McGarrity. You can read the full piece from Chip Towers at DogNation.com. Couple issues for me on that. First of all, on this idea of we advocate for things all the time that nobody really knows about. That just leads me to believe that you're not getting your way. If you're advocating for things behind closed doors and we, the average rank and file fans, never hear about it, I don't know how you're advocating then if it never becomes public to us, because either you're getting stuff that's so inconsequential, it kind of, you know, flies below the surface, flies below the radar, or you're just not simply getting your way at all. You're only arguing your case behind closed doors. Because pretty clearly here, while you say, hey, we're following SEC protocol, we're doing this all this behind closed doors, well, congratulations to you for being the teacher's pet on all this, saying, hey, we don't take our stuff publicly, we do it behind closed doors. But your counterpart in this particular negotiation, Auburn Athletic Director Alan Green, did go public on this. He did put up a public fuss about this. And guess what? Less than a year later, he's getting his way. Because if you want to go back to November, Alan Green was speaking at one of those touchdown club deals. AL.com, the big website that covers Alabama and Auburn, was on hand. What Green told Auburn fans at the time was, it doesn't matter how spaced out the games are, just not having to play Georgia and Alabama in the last three games of the year. Just some breathing room. I think it's better for the conference that way as well. Now, he doesn't go on to say exactly how it is better for the conference, but it's clearly better for Auburn. He goes public, and he got his way. In this Auburn versus Georgia battle, this is a win for Auburn against Georgia. They do get the space they wanted between these two series, and Georgia just simply flip-flops Auburn for Tennessee. It is very difficult to see how Georgia got anything for this whatsoever. And if Georgia did gain something from this, it's the job of McGarrity or Smart or somebody to step up and explain how UGA benefits from this, because as the average fan sees it, there's nothing in this for Georgia whatsoever. It's another example, much like the back-to-back trips to Auburn in 2012 and 2013, or the situation coming up this November on Cupcake Saturday when everybody else is playing, you know, Citadel and you know, whomever, and Georgia's playing what's likely to be a top 10 Texas A&M team the day before rivalry weekend. It always seems like George, like the teacher's pet, has its hand in the air ready to volunteer for whatever the SEC dishes out. And all that seems to lead to is more opportunities to get pushed around. Because after all, the whole idea of the scheduling flip for Auburn and Georgia, to me, that's a solution in search of a problem. Georgia has dominated Auburn, I think, 11 of the last 14 they've won, haven't lost at Georgia Tech since 1999. The nature of these two road games connected closely together, that hasn't seemed to matter very much in the case of either series. Georgia doesn't lose at Georgia Tech and doesn't lose to Auburn much, period. But nonetheless, Georgia was ready to volunteer and do exactly what the SEC wanted, in this case, exactly what Auburn wanted. And as I said before, all that seems to lead to are more opportunities when you are there just getting pushed around by somebody who's more than happy to bully you if you're willing to take it. Take last night in basketball, for instance. Now, I know it may seem like a little bit of a stretch to draw a line between what happened between Georgia and Auburn in the scheduling boardroom and what happened with Georgia, Mississippi State last night on the basketball floor, but if you saw this, you know what I'm talking about. Late in the game, less than a minute to go, in fact, even less than that, half a second ago, I guess, something gets thrown on the floor, technical foul, Mississippi State gets the extra free throw and shoots the shot that wins the game. And, Tom Crean at the end of the game was obviously, very frustrated by this. It was the kind of unorthodox thing that you just don't see happen very much around the SEC, but it just so happens this, once again, happened to George. In fact, here is Crean with his own complaint about it.
To my knowledge, I'm 52 years of age, been head coach for 19 years, been an assistant and other coaches since I was 18, in college since I was 20. I've never seen that, not without a warning, and certainly without an explanation. I just saw something land on the floor, so my first reaction is to go to grab the mic myself. We're in it together. I've done it my whole career, because that usually takes care of it. And I've had officials in the past, thank me for doing it, right? I mean, it's just part of the game. I didn't even know we'd assess the technical until I turned the coaches, tell me what's going on. So not like anybody came and explained anything to me.
Wouldn't it be nice if somebody that works for Georgia on behalf of Tom Crean would go public today to say, we were robbed last night by an egregious officiating error, by an overstepping of the power of the officials? Wouldn't it be nice if that happened? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody for Georgia went public on the opposite side of Auburn AD Allen Green to say, I know that you want this scheduling change. Here's why it's not in our best interest to do that. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody argued on Georgia's behalf in that regard? That's not the Georgia way, apparently, though. According to McGarrity's own words, they do all of their bidding behind closed doors. And publicly, it's just appease, 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 appease. It's almost as if, Greg McGarrity is becoming like the Neville Chamberlain of the SEC in all of this. Appease, 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 appease. Well, you can appease long enough, we're all speaking German, because what seems to be happening is another case of Georgia just being pushed around. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. It is great to be back with you today. And as I said off the top of the program, I'm so sorry for the quality of my voice today. I really do apologize for that. But nonetheless, we're really having a good time being back on the show, dealing with some of the big issues that have been going on the last couple of days, including the big thing yesterday with the Georgia-Auburn schedule change. I don't like it at all. I don't see what's in this for Georgia. I'd love to have somebody for Georgia go into further explanation for why this is a trade they were wanting to make. If Kirby Smart's on board with this, he needs to speak out. You'll criticize McGarrity for his role in all of this, but at some point in time, Kirby Smart's got to come out of the shadows. Kirby Smart's got to stop hiding behind this veil of secrecy so much and express his own thoughts about stuff like this and stop, having to have this stuff interpreted by something he said, half a year ago. He's got to start speaking up a little bit more on his feelings on stuff like this, be that advocate for Georgia himself, because he's certainly got the mouthpiece and the power to be able to do that. But for either way, we're going to push that aside for right now and say good to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, back on the radio today at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form as well with our friends on podcast, Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast Player, everything in between, including the worldfamousdognation.com. We're just really glad to have you as a part of the program today. Coming up in a moment, we'll get some thoughts from our buddy Mike Griffith on all of this as well. Mike's been very close in on this subject, following it very closely. We'll get some thoughts on him on this. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here, presented by Online Trading Academy today. And another big piece of news that happened while I was gone was it became official, I guess, but the situation with Georgia's defensive coordinator. This is another example of a very odd rollout, a very odd public declaration. It looks to me that Dan Lanning is the Georgia defensive coordinator. Now, there is some confusion because on the open records request that was put out by Dog Nation and others, when the titles and the names come out, you've got Glenn Schumann listed as a co-defensive coordinator. I honestly believe in this case, though, that co is one of those words in college football, or in this case, I guess, a prefix in college football that just doesn't have any real meaning anymore, much the same way that commitment to recruit, that word in college football doesn't quite mean what it means outside the world of college football anymore. Committed means that you are fully locked in for many recruits. That's not what committed means anymore. The same thing, too, with offers. You know, Georgia will offer 100-and-something people this year for only 25 potential scholarships. The scholarship offer, that word doesn't quite mean what it used to mean. And in college football, it has an entirely different meaning. I think you can add the co-defensive coordinator phrase into that as well, not meaning in the world of college football what it means other places. Because in this particular case, I think it's just a title that's been given to Glenn Schumann. If you look at the salaries both these guys made last year and the big bump that Dan Lanning's getting this year, it certainly appears that Dan Lanning's going to be the defensive coordinator at Georgia. Much the same way at Tennessee last year, Kevin Shearer was listed as defensive coordinator. Chris Rumpf was listed as co-defensive coordinator, but nobody thought those two guys were sharing those responsibilities. It was Shearer who was thought to be the Tennessee defensive coordinator. You've got the same thing going on here. Now, later on in the program, I was going to do it now, but I think we're kind of running a little bit late. I'm going to let you hear some from Dan Lanning on all of this, what he said back at the Sugar Bowl. We'll let you decide for yourself. You know, did Georgia do as well as it could have? Did it do as good a job as it could have in terms of rolling this out and propping him up as the new defensive coordinator for the program? I think there's reason to suggest that it did not. We'll certainly talk more about that and let you hear from Lanning in his own words in just a moment. For now, though, let me remind you that Around the Doghouse today is brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Online Trading Academy provides professional instruction on how you can make money in the markets. Our students learn a step-by-step approach to trading investing that covers a spectrum of trading styles and asset classes. It's in the classroom and online. So make the best possible decision you can make to invest in yourself. It's the best money you'll ever spend because it's the kind of thing that's going to return value on that investment over and over again, year after year. Once you learn how to manage those markets and make money in the markets, you'll never regret that decision. Simply go to TradingAcademy.com/Atlanta. That's TradingAcademy.com/Atlanta, and you can be making money in the markets. And wouldn't that be a fun way to make your 2019 better than ever before? We appreciate Online Trading Academy being a part of Dog Nation Daily and Around the Doghouse. All right, we'll hear from Dan Lanning what he said about this back in January later on in the program. For now, though, for more on the Greg McGarrity situation, the Kirby Smart role in this Auburn decision, and kind of everything else that goes along with all of this, let's talk to our buddy Mike Griffith right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let me say hello to Mike Griffith, who's had some great reporting on all of this going on with Georgia over the last couple of days. And it's good to share, get a chance to hear more of his thoughts on this subject. Mike, I know that Thursday's not your normal day to be on Dog Nation Daily, but we appreciate you being here nonetheless and hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Everybody's excited you're back, DA. So, yeah, I hope you're doing well, too.
I am doing well. Once again, I'll apologize for a little bit of a scratchy throat today. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me okay. But nonetheless, it is really good to be back here. And let me talk on air about something that you and I kind of exchanged some thoughts on Twitter about a little earlier this week. I played the audio from Kirby Smart at the spring meetings in Destin and the show a little earlier. And based on those comments, Kirby complaining about the back-to-back road games against Auburn and Georgia Tech to close out seasons. Based on those comments, it's not entirely obvious to me that Kirby Smart would be happy with the trade of Auburn for Tennessee, because to my understanding, that doesn't alleviate the problem that Kirby thinks he has with those two road games late in the year. But people just seem to be operating on the assumption that Kirby Smart must be fine with this. I don't know where that's coming from necessarily based on what he said in the past. How would you respond to all of that?
Well, I do know where it's coming from. I mean, I've talked to the people that, you know, around Kirby Smart, and you know, the lay of the land at Georgia is a little different maybe than other places, and maybe than what we used to think about from a traditional standpoint. You know, there was a time when we looked at the administration and the athletic directors as making, you know, the most important decisions and having the authority. And I think that's ultimately still true. But when it comes to Kirby Smart, it's a matter of administrators recognizing that Kirby's not your average football coach with a whistle around his neck. I mean, this is a guy who has a business degree from Georgia. I mean, this is a 43-year-old man making $6 million a year who within 2 years almost won a national championship and played for in a national championship game. So the people around Kirby, the administrators, the athletic director, the school president, the board of trustees, yeah, Kirby works for them, but they trust Kirby. You know, it's kind of like when you do your show, B.A. You know, we all know that you know what you're doing when you get behind the camera and in front of a microphone. And while you may have the same managers I do, our managers recognize that you know what you're doing. And if B.A. wants to do a show on this, they're going to let them. And it's kind of like that with Kirby Smart. If Kirby Smart either wants or is good with a schedule change, they trust Kirby Smart's judgment. And if Kirby wasn't, here's the important thing. If Kirby wasn't good with it, Georgia would not sign off with it.
So here's the thing, Mike. If that's true, what you're saying, and Kirby Smart's got to come out of the shadows on this, then he's got to remove the veil of secrecy, and somebody on Georgia's behalf has got to explain why this is a better decision.
Why does he got to come out of the shadows? You know, that's another thing that's different. You and I would have said, I think fans probably would have said, Kirby's got to tell us who the defensive coordinator is going to be. Kirby's got to say some things about promoting Dan to defensive coordinator. Kirby's got to talk on national. Kirby doesn't have to do anything for the general public or for the media. Now, if you're a donor, if you're a high-dollar donor, then you get to go to Georgia scrimmages. And Kirby's going to make sure you know what you need to know if you're putting money in the coffer. But Kirby Smart doesn't need to deal with the media or the fans when he's winning 11 and 12 games a year. He doesn't need to do it, and there's no point in it, because him telling the media or him telling the fans that, you know, well, I'm good with it, what good does it? Who cares? Who cares if you're good with it?
So
Kirby's good with it.
Sure. So take the media part out of this for a moment, because it's the average fans right now who are weighing in on this. It's the average fans who are upset. And I guess, I mean, I am also just like them, very curious of, I mean, what Georgia is getting out of this. From your perspective, what is Georgia gaining from making this trade?
Well, I think there's a couple things they're getting out of it. One, it does help remove the Auburn, Georgia Tech, the potential for two road games within 3 weeks against rivals. Okay? High rivals. I think Kirby looks at Auburn as more of a rival right now, more of a threat to Georgia than Tennessee. I mean, I think that's the way he views it. Here's the other thing. If you're playing Auburn in November, you might be playing them again 2 or 3 weeks later in the SEC championship game. That's not the case if it's Tennessee.
Right, but just to be clear about one thing. The Tennessee-Auburn schedule right now is on the same, pattern right now, where, you know, Georgia plays at Tennessee the same year it plays at Auburn. So from what Kirby Smart has said about alleviating the issue with those late road games, Tennessee does not solve that problem, because Georgia is in Knoxville the same years that it's at Auburn.
I guess Kirby Smart's gamble, or Kirby Smart's look into the future, is that that's a healthier situation than Auburn. Again, I think the one thing that's different is that there's always a chance you could face Auburn in a rematch in the SEC championship game 2 or 3 weeks later. That's what happened a couple years ago when they played Auburn and Georgia Tech in back-to-back weeks, and that was something Kirby addressed at spring meetings.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. That wouldn't be the situation with Tennessee, but the rest of that just seems really odd to me and very, very difficult to explain. Let me talk about something else kind of related to this for a moment. And you're a guy that's, you know, covered a lot of college football for a long time, and you've been obviously neck deep in this Georgia stuff over the last couple of years, and you've seen a lot of athletic directors, and you see the way that Georgia fans relate to this program's athletic director, Greg McGarrity, who is coming back for at least one more year, and maybe future years beyond that. Do you think that McGarrity has a perception problem? Because, you know, a lot of what I get on Twitter when something like this happens is, oh, there goes Greg McGarrity again. And I'll admit that while I have defended him a little bit compared to what some people have said, even in this particular case, I find myself thinking this just comes across as kind of a bad look for McGarrity. Admittedly, that may be unfair. As someone who's getting to know Greg McGarrity and getting to know his relationship with the UGA fans and his situation at Georgia, do you think that McGarrity suffers from a perception problem?
I think fans suffer from a perception problem. I think if they can't look at the Georgia athletic program and see that it's the envy of the league, then they've got a problem. They're not very smart. If they can't look at the Athletic Director Cup and see where George is at, if they can't see the facilities improvement that George is experiencing, the fundraising, the improvements to the stadium, I think they're just putting $11 million into a tennis stadium. I think they just won a national championship in that sport. I look at their non-revenue sports. They're very strong. I look at the hire of Tom Crean, and while the record doesn't reflect it, George has played two NCAA tournament teams toe-to-toe. I saw Greg McGarrity and his marketing team sell out six consecutive games at Steegman Coliseum. I see Georgia with a third place in the SEC in terms of the percentage of volume filled in their basketball arena with a 1-12 team. That doesn't just happen. I've covered programs with very poor athletic directors. I'll be more pointed. Tennessee was a dumpster fire when they had their athletic director issues after Doug Dickey left. That program went from something to nothing when Doug Dickey left and when Mike Hamilton got on a slippery slope. Dave Hart was terrible. Their chancellor, Jimmy Cheek, was awful. You want to talk about a perception problem? Let's look back at Tennessee from 2010 until Philip Fulmer's hire here, 7 years of what a bad administration can do. And let's contrast that with Greg McGarrity and what's happened for Georgia in that time span. Let's look at how the facilities have improved. Let's look at how they've been able to get kids into school even while Georgia's the number 13 public institution in the country. Let's look at Kirby Smart making a public statement endorsing Greg McGarrity. He's making your coach happy. He's fighting the battles that Kirby Smart wants. Get it through your head. Greg McGarrity is one of the best athletic directors in the country. There are no compliance issues. The school is in the black. They can afford to pay for whoever they want to coach whatever they want. What in the world does anybody have a problem with?
So let me push back on just a couple of things you said there. You mentioned the tennis issue, first of all, that the money they're about to spend on tennis. But the fact is they were so delayed in spending that money, they lost the NCAA tournament at the McGill Center, which had been really, you know, one of the centerpieces of UGA athletics during the spring. They lost that because of the unwillingness to spend money until now. And I'm not a big tennis fan, so that doesn't resonate with me the way that it does other people. But I do know a lot of Georgia fans who are very upset about that, which sort of lends to that perception that McGarrity can be too passive, much the same way that this situation with the Auburn-Tennessee thing lends the perception that McGarrity can be too cooperative, right?
He's being cooperative with his head coach. If the fan base wants Greg McGarrity to start fighting with Kirby Smart, then they really are uninformed and naive.
But do you really think that McGarrity's giving Kirby everything that he wants? I mean, certainly...
Absolutely. Certainly, no doubt about it.
But certainly it seems...
Let me put it like this. Okay. Let me tell you why. Let me make a point here. Kirby Smart made a public statement about Greg McGarrity after McGarrity was extended. And I think you have that public statement there, and you can read it off, or you can, Michael can, or Connor can put it on the screen. Kirby Smart, I'm going to repeat this, he made a public statement about Greg McGarrity. Kirby Smart did not make a public statement about promoting his defensive coordinator or Glenn Schumann. When Kirby speaks, it is with a reason. It is calculated. It is with cause. If Kirby Smart did not completely endorse Greg McGarrity, he would not have made that statement. Furthermore, if Kirby Smart did not support Greg McGarrity, he would not be extended. Kirby Smart is the golden goose, and everybody's got to know that by now. If you can't see it, then you're missing the boat. If you don't recognize that Kirby Smart is more than just a football coach, that Kirby Smart is a businessman, that Kirby Smart is ahead of the curve, if you can't see that, then I don't know what kind of Georgia fan you are. And if you don't recognize that Georgia is going to respect what Kirby Smart wants and work with him, then you're also missing the boat. And the guy to do that, and the guy that is doing that, is Greg McGarrity. And why anybody has a problem, like I said, Georgia's athletic program is the envy of the league right now. My goodness, are people, do you have to just look for things to be upset about?
Let me, you addressed the defensive coordinator thing a moment ago. Let me talk to you about that because you and I haven't had a chance to chat about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. You mentioned before, you know, and you're, I think, saying this somewhat sarcastically, but why did Georgia need to make any kind of statement about its defensive coordinator hire? the way that it happens, Mike, it's almost certainly going to be used as a negative recruiting tool against Georgia to say that Georgia doesn't have enough faith in its defensive coordinator to even announce it publicly. They tried to keep it a secret. Is that a problem? Did you think the odd way in which all this was rolled out, basically having to be unearthed from Georgia through an open records request, as opposed to any kind of like bold proclamation or exciting statement, video tribute, something along those lines, did Georgia drop the ball on how this was handled?
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, whenever something happens that seems out of the ordinary, and it's not always like this. Now, I've covered programs and coaches where I go, this guy's missing the boat, okay? And I'm not going to point out any names or anything like that, but to me there were different times, different occasions where a coach was out of touch or didn't understand the complexity of an issue. But with Kirby Smart, I really play it back, okay? I really look at it and say, now, this doesn't look right on the surface. What is Kirby seeing here that I'm not seeing? And I think I figured the thing out here. Kirby Smart knows what questions are going to be asked before they get asked. He knows that on the surface, the promotion of the defensive coordinator, it doesn't look good. He can't give you any reasons in a public forum that's going to make you feel any better about that promotion than what you already do. He can't point to the Sugar Bowl. The defense didn't play well. Now, they were missing some players, but people say that's excuses. They don't care that the best defensive lineman, the best linebacker, and the best DB didn't play. They still think Georgia should win by 100 points, whatever. He's not going to be able to defend it. He's not going to be able to explain it. He's not because here's the thing. Because he's not going to stand up there and give you cotton candy and gumdrops and just say things to say things. He's not going to do that. Kirby knows as much as the fan base knows that the proof is in the pudding. And right now, these guys are unproven. So there's nothing he could say in a public setting that would present Georgia in a more favorable light. So then why do it? Why put yourself in front of a group of media that's going to ask all these questions, and you don't really have good answers? So did it hurt him in recruiting? No, it didn't hurt him in recruiting. He still had the number one or number two class, depending on what service you used, even without a defensive coordinator named. So, no, it didn't hurt him one bit. Again, it's all about Kirby Smart. People believe in Georgia and Kirby Smart until given reason not to. So I think Kirby's strategy, B.A., is if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. It doesn't behoove him necessarily to go in front of people and try and defend the hires of some unproven guys. He believes in them. That's what he's going to tell you. But when you ask him why, he's going to say, well, because I sit with him in a room every day. But you're going to say, where's the proof? He's going to say, well, the Sugar Bowl wasn't it. So you're right. You know, the Sugar Bowl, he can't really point to anything that's going to make that positive in the public. So why address it? He doesn't have to address it. So I think Kirby Smart right now, and sometimes coaches start believing their own BS and can get away from being the smartest guy in the room. But right now, Kirby Smart's the smartest guy in the room, and I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Let me do one quick final thing. I know you were there last night. Tom Crean very upset about the technical foul called late in the game. Now, Georgia may have still lost the game anyway, but the call itself is pretty egregious. And, Mike, it's the kind of thing for me that somebody needs to stand up and say, if you're Georgia, hey, this was a horrible, officiating call to without warning, call this technical foul. It's the kind of thing that Georgia, I think, ought to get publicly upset about. It's the kind of thing that Georgia just doesn't really do very much and do very well. What was your thought on the way that unfolded last night, including what Kareem had to say about it?
It's unbelievable. It was just, like, what next? What a performance for Georgia to come from 17 down and tie that game. I mean, it was amazing. I thought the official, now, talking with Greg McGarrity afterward, he said it's a judgment call. It's a judgment call. The SEC officials were within their rights and their bounds to make that call. That's their judgment call. It's the way it's written. So they didn't break any rules. Now, we can argue about the judgment. I would even point to some of the calls in the final minute. I hate to say it, but, if Mississippi State loses that game, they're square on the bubble for the tournament. I mean, Mississippi State had to win that game. That would have been a very bad loss that could have ultimately cost Mississippi State and the SEC team in the NCAA tournament. So if you want a conspiracy theory, go beyond the stuffed bulldog and look at the calls that were made in the last minute. Calls out of bounds, calls reviewed, not reversed, chintzy touch. I mean, it was just like, okay, which gym are we in here, right? So You're asking me about how it unfolded. Unfortunate. I've never seen it happen. Tom Crean said that. But, you know, Georgia and Crean have to be poised here. You don't gain anything in the long run by calling out officials or referees, okay? It doesn't help you in the long run. And in the short term, even if you win that game, you're still not going to the NCAA tournament. You're still not going to the NIT. So there's no point in getting all pissy about it, to use an ugly word. But there's no point in getting ugly about it because it's not going to benefit you. So you handle it with class. You stand up for your team. You know, you say what happened. Crean said, in all my years of coaching, I've never seen anything like it. I didn't like it that I didn't get an explanation. You know, Greg McGarrity made it clear, hey, look, this is a judgment call. I've never seen it happen. We'll follow up behind closed doors. They're going to maintain a good relationship with the SEC, which also tells you Georgia likes where they're at. Georgia has a good relationship with Greg Sankey. Things that Georgia wants, the league works with them on. You work with them, they work with you. And I think Georgia is one of the best schools for doing that.
Hey, Mike, it's great to talk to you. We'll look forward to reading a bunch more from you at dognation.com. We appreciate your insight, and we'll certainly catch up soon.
It's fun talking with you, BA. Have
Always.
A great – glad you're back.
Yeah,
right,
thanks.
Back.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Fruit.
Look, reasonable people can disagree on stuff like this, but, you know, the idea that all this stuff's going to be handled behind closed doors and, hey, we'll go through our procedural, you know, protocol to, you know, file our grievance about the technical foul, and we'll write it up on a sheet of paper and put it in some suggestion box somewhere where it disappears into the ether. Let's see how all that works out. Every now and then, you got to do what Alan Green, the new Auburn AD, did back in November. You got to go public with your problem. And guess what? Sometimes the squeaky wheel does actually get the fixing. I think there's something to be said for the way that Georgia goes about its business. The 13 other SEC schools are very thankful for it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Very, very thankful for it in some regards. I told you later on, we're going to hear more from Dan Lanning, what he had to say about the defensive coordinator position in Georgia back in January, or I guess it would have been late December, when he spoke to the media. We'll do that in a moment. For now, though, let's do our SEC through. And before that, let me also remind you about a really good offer from our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Now, you know Pella Window and Door. They are a nationally owned company, but they've also got that local branch right here in Georgia, which means you get the power of a national company and the sort of individual attention and service of a locally owned, family-run organization. That's one of the great things about them. They can also equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. And listen, this time of year, that makes a big difference. That draft from the air sneaking in, you don't want that kind of stuff from your window and door. You want that nice, airtight, sealed house to keep you warm when it's raining and cold outside. Well, Pella Window and Door of Georgia can help you do that. They've also got a great offer for you. You can get up to 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. And that offer is only valid through March 28th, so you need to go and act right now to get in touch with them. There are a couple different ways you can do that. It's PellaSoutheast.us. That's the website, PellaSoutheast.us, or their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. Once again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. Couple of SEC stories I want to get to here for a moment. First of all, I saw where Wesley McGriff, one-time Auburn defensive backs coach, turned horrible, disastrous defensive coordinator at Ole Miss, is now back at Auburn, according to some reports. And I believe it's actually the Montgomery Advertiser that may have had this first. If they didn't, I apologize. I don't really care, but I think it was them who had it first. McGriff is coming back as a defensive assistant, and I don't have a ton to say about this other than the fact that it is amazing to me. There is no profession like football coaching really anywhere where, I mean, McGriff was as bad as a defensive coordinator as you can be, and he sort of, you know, goes from that job to like a cushy landing spot as a defensive assistant at Auburn and, you know, without having to sit even a single play out. Coaching is a pretty nice gig if you can get it, where once you're in the club, you are in the club forever. McGriff was as bad a defensive coordinator to the tune of, you know, Ole Miss became – about the easiest team in the SEC to score against. Now, he's not a defensive coordinator at Auburn, but that's still a pretty good job as an assistant coach there with the Tigers. So, once again, college football coaches find themselves in a very soft landing spot. And it's really one of the reasons why, even as much of a disaster and kind of a messy headache as this transfer portal has turned out to be, you don't hear a lot of sympathy from the average fan, but the coaches who have to deal with this, because I think people just are just generally aware of just how kissed into the system coaches become once they're established in the market. They always find a landing spot. They always seem to find the opportunity to rehabilitate their career and move on. And I guess from a certain standpoint, players just want the same kind of freedom and flexibility. As messy as the transfer portal is, you see the coaching world of this all seems to work out pretty well for the coaches involved. Speaking of Tennessee, which we've talked about a lot on the program today, because that's the program that Georgia is going to flip-flop with Auburn on its schedule, certainly would seem that over the last couple of years, the Tennessee game late in the year be a lot easier than the Auburn game would be. But that's not necessarily going to be that way moving forward. In fact, ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr., he did like a conference call or something the other day where he was talking about all this draft stuff, and I guess one of the Tennessee reporters must have asked him about something. He gave an answer, and Tennessee's put this on its official Twitter account. They're really promoting what Kiper had to say. Kiper says of Tennessee, "Jeremy Pruitt, the recruiting class coming in this year is outstanding. The recruits are coming in are going to get back to Tennessee having a lot of early round picks." That's Mel Kiper Jr. talking about Tennessee. That was tweeted out from the official Tennessee account. And I think there's an important point to be made here, that when you make a decision about scheduling, that ought to be done with 15, 20, 25 years in mind. Now, in the SEC, there's obviously a chance that they go to a 9-game conference schedule sometime soon and all this just gets rebooted. But assuming that doesn't happen, because as it stands right now, we don't know that it will. But assuming that doesn't happen, over the course of the last 25 years, you know, I don't know how much better Auburn's been than Tennessee. In fact, I don't know that they've been better overall. Tennessee has been down as of late, but you can't assume what's happened over the last couple of years is going to be happening forever. So another tactical error here that Georgia's made, if it is true what Mike Griffith said, that he believes that Kirby Smart is okay with the trade of Auburn for Tennessee, I just think that's a flat-out just strategic tactical error on Georgia's part to assume that the Tennessee game is going to be easier over the course of the next 20 years than the Auburn game, assuming this does last that long. I just think it's an error. I think it's an absolute mistake. I don't necessarily take Mel Kiper at his word that this recruiting class alone for Tennessee is going to change all that much, but clearly Pruitt is a formidable recruiting foe, and they have, to their credit, they've put together a pretty good staff. Derek Ansley coming in, it's pretty good. They've done some good stuff. So, over the course of the next few years, the Tennessee game for Georgia is going to get more challenging for sure. All right, a couple of other things to give to you here. Alabama, speaking of coaches finding a soft landing spot, they have hired another embattled head coach, Major Applewhite, whose stint at Houston was a total disaster, is coming into Alabama again as an analyst. He was a one-time offensive coordinator there with the program. I don't think he liked it very much. He seemed to leave pretty quick, but nonetheless, he is coming back as an analyst, and that's another extra pair of hands. Saban's really good at hiring those analysts, and having Applewhite working on that offensive game plan will certainly help them. And then another story that I wanted to mention, I saw where LSU had leaped to the top of the 2020 recruiting class, the 24/7 Sports composite team ranking. They're at number one now. They have really brought in a lot of big-time recruits, capitalizing on what was a great 2019 class as well. Ed Orgeron had some recruiting misses a couple years ago that really kind of called into question his stewardship of the program. That has not been the problem the last couple of cycles. 2019 was stellar. 2020 is off to a big start as well. And LSU has reestablished itself as a major recruiting power. And obviously, Georgia fans know all about that. They were able to flip John Emery Jr., the running back, early in the cycle. So pay attention to Ed Orgeron on the recruiting trail. We'll make that your SEC through. All right. Here on Dog Nation Daily. And as I said before, sorry, y'all, for the tricky voice today. I apologize for not having a lot of oomph behind my words today. Hopefully tomorrow everything will be back to normal and I'll be sounding the way that I am used to sounding. It has been a little bit of a challenge today with the words. But nonetheless, I got a throat thing for those of you on either radio or video who are joining us a little late. I got a weird throat thing going on. I've had a hard time with that. So I appreciate your patience with me. I'm sure I must sound very annoying to you today. And I certainly apologize for that. But I want to go back to what we were talking about a little early in the show, and that's Dan Lanning, the rollout for him as defensive coordinator with Glenn Schumann as the co-defensive coordinator. I think this is a very odd thing from Georgia's perspective. Lanning, when he did speak on behalf of Georgia as its lead defensive guy going to the Sugar Bowl, was asked at the time if he was going to be the Georgia defensive coordinator. At the time, either he didn't know or wasn't ready to talk about it, so he kind of dodged the question. Here is some of what Dan Lanning had to say before Georgia took on Texas back in January.
I don't really want to speak to that. Right now, our focus is all on this game. I have all the respect in the world for Mel Tucker. I love Mel Tucker. He's been a great mentor and friend in this business. But, you know, moving forward right now, our focus is on this game, the first.
Yeah, so he would go on when he was asked about, you know, had he interviewed for the job? Was he up for the job? He, once again, you know, kind of dodged all of this, even admitting that, hey, listen, if he was a consideration, he wouldn't be the only guy that gets considered for this job. Here's more from Lanning.
Our complete focus has been this game, you know, and then, you know, leading up to this game, we had our signing day, you know, so, you know, I think opportunities and decisions will be made. There's probably a ton of interest. This is the Georgia defensive coordinator job. There's a ton of interest in that job. We're going to be able to attract a lot of great candidates for that position. You know, we have a lot of great people on staff and in-house. Like I said, I think everybody's kind of taking a piece of the pie, stepping forward, moving into this game, and what it'll look like from a play caller, signal caller standpoint into this game. And then after the game, I think there'll be some decisions made as what that looks like moving forward.
I think part of the reason why Georgia is being so secretive about this, and I don't think you can deny this, the failure of Tosh Lapoy, or at least the reported failure of Tosh Lapoy as Alabama defensive coordinator a year ago. Another young coach was a good recruiter who got the promotion, and apparently, according to sources within the Alabama program, which is not ready for that job. Kirby might have that on his mind when it comes to Dan Lanning. We don't know because Kirby doesn't say anything about it, but you're left to assume that might be the case. One way or another, though, Lanning is defensive coordinator, Schumann is co-defensive coordinator, defensive-minded Kirby Smart as a guy overseeing all of this. There'll probably be a lot of hands on that defensive game plan, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Here's more from Lanning on that point, specifically related to the preparations for Texas.
You know, I think you know, a lot of people put a lot more into that than is probably the actual case. We make a lot of decisions during the week before you ever get to the game. So when you look at a specific situation in the game, a lot of those decisions have already been made. But I think the right answer is that everybody's going to be involved in that, just like they have been all week. You know, a combination of Coach Smart, Coach Schumann, Coach Scott, and myself are working really hard to put together a great plan and have a great plan for these guys. But when you get into the game, a lot of times those decisions have already been made.
Yeah, so I think for the most part what Lanning says there is probably true, that it's really the work you do in the week getting ready for the game that probably matters more than anything else. The defensive coordinator can be at least partially a symbolic role. But I do think there's also some value in the symbolism. And by Georgia not announcing publicly that Lanning's going to be the guy, that Schumann's going to be the co-defensive coordinator, what that relationship's going to be like, I think it leads people to make their own assumptions. And Georgia's foes in the recruiting trail are going to try to color those assumptions of recruits in a negative way. And there's just no denying that. I think Georgia could have handled that better. Let me sort of finish up, though, on a more positive note. Make sure you check out Chip Towers' piece at DogNation.com. He was at the athletic board meeting yesterday, and there was a discussion that comes up about some new lights being put into Sanford Stadium. They're like these, you know, professional stadiums now, NBA stadiums, where you can kind of, you know, shut them off. The light-up Sanford thing's going to get very, very cool in the years to come. That should be a lot of fun to see. Let me also tell you this. 845 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. That's good news. That's our Gatorator Updater. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.